Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
You're welcome back to the programme. As you've probably heard by now, Israel is leading the world at the moment in the rollout of a vaccination programme. It's already vaccinated 2 million people, which is about 22% of its population, focusing at the moment on the over 60 age group. A small research study in Israel also offers some indication that the vaccine may stop transmission of the virus, although it must be stressed at the moment that this data has not been published by Pfizer itself. I'm joined now by James Rothwell, who's Middle East correspondent for The Telegraph, who's in Jerusalem, and Professor Diane Zamir Levine, who's in Tel Aviv, and she's the National Director of the Department of Health Promotion at Clalit, who are involved in the vaccination program. You're both welcome to the program. James, if I might turn to you first of all, can you tell us why Israel has been so successful so far in rolling out its vaccination program?
There are a number of factors. I think the main one is that Israel is a relatively small country, both in population size and geographically. We're talking about 30,000 square miles of ground to cover. And you've also got a logistics industry where many of the people working there have done national service, and there's a strong sense of ambition and energy. And I think that has allowed them, once the vaccines have arrived at the docks, as it were, to get those out to the general population very quickly, at which point it's up to healthcare providers to then quickly administer the vaccines.
Okay, and there's also an agreement, I believe, between Israel and Pfizer to share vaccination data. So do we know much of the detail of that?
Well, a redacted version of that deal has been published. The broad strokes of it say that Pfizer will provide Israel with a large number of vaccines, and in return, Israel is expected to provide weekly updates on basically how the vaccination program is going, to provide figures on, for example, the number of people who are still being admitted to hospital and also the number of vaccines that are being administered, with a breakdown by, for example, age or gender or other demographic groups. And it's hoped that the data that's collected as part of that exercise will inform the efforts of other vaccination strategies around the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Stay with us, if you don't mind, James. Professor Zamir Levine, I might turn to you for just a moment, because I mentioned some new research which could indicate that the vaccination also prevents transmission of the virus. What more can you tell us about that at this stage?
Well, thank you. It's nice to be with you and to share Israel's experience. Firstly, we'd just like to add a few points of what James meant, and I think that was really important, the points that he made. We also want to mention the healthcare system, which is a very special healthcare system in Israel. We have four different systems, but they all work together and very integrated into the community. So that was another really important reason why we're able to roll out the vaccines so quickly. Mm-hmm. And also because of the information that's getting to the public. We're trying to be very transparent and trying to really get the evidence-based information. We know that a lot of countries are worried about vaccine hesitancy or are very worried maybe about the vaccine and safety. So we're being very careful about making sure that the best information is getting out to the public, also culturally appropriate information, because Israel is a country of cultures, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that we're really respecting all cultures by giving them information as they
and
need
actually,
it.
And actually, do you know what, Professor? We have been reading about that in this country, an awful lot of us, and they are very interesting elements of the equation. But I think we're all interested as well in if this vaccination prevents transmission of the virus. What are the early stages of inoculation telling us?
Well, it's very early. We have unpublished data yet, and we're following it. But our Clalit Research Institute is following the data, and we're seeing this is very early data, but we're seeing that it is there is some good positive results as far as the decline, we're seeing after I think it was about day 14, then we're seeing that, again, the vaccine needs to be the booster. So we're very much in favor of the second injection. It's really important. We want to make sure that people get the vaccine as been prescribed. So there is some promising information, but it is early. We have peer-reviewed manuscripts that are being being written right now. Then they'll go under scientific review, and then we'll see what results can be published. Mm-hmm. But we're hopeful, and we're very
just to be clear, I'm not sure if I understood you correctly. Are you saying that it does prevent? Now, we say this tentatively, of course, but it does prevent transmission of the virus once you get the vaccine itself, not simply that it protects you yourself.
Well, it's really early to tell. We're too early to draw conclusions, but we're looking at that very seriously. And I think that will be very good news for the world if we can show that. But again, we have to be very cautious. We're comparing it to about 200,000 people who are unvaccinated. So it's a very controlled study, vaccinated versus a comparison group that's mm-hmm. not vaccinated. And we just need a little bit more time. Just remember that we've only begun vaccinating about 4 weeks ago. Yeah. So we have gone fast. Well, almost 30% of the population has been vaccinated, but it's a little bit too early to follow up in the long term. So
but you are finding out stuff.
The good news.
You are ahead of the curve for the rest of us anyway. What did you say about the difference in effectiveness of the vaccine between dose one and dose two?
Well, I think Israel has used mainly almost all of the vaccines have been the Pfizer vaccine. And we are looking just according to the Pfizer protocol, assuming that there is and probably seeing the rest of the data that's been shown by others as well, that there's very, very, we would say it's very, the coverage is not complete after one injection. So you really need to go according to the protocol of the second injections, and that's what Israel's doing now. And, you know, mm-hmm. Clalit, of course, is leading this. We have 54% of Israel's population is in our institution. So we're definitely abiding by those protocols.
Okay.
We feel that it's important. The booster will be important in the long run.
Can I return to you briefly, James, for just a moment? What about the Palestinian population in the West Bank and in Gaza? Have they been included in the rollout?
Well, they haven't had their vaccines yet, but according to the Oslo Accords, the sort of putative peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians, it is up to the Palestinian leaders, it says, to get vaccines for their own people. So the Palestinians are in the process of trying to secure some Russian Sputnik vaccines and also, I believe, a batch from AstraZeneca. Some of those were supposed to arrive earlier this week, but unfortunately they haven't. And in addition to that, the Palestinians are seeking vaccines through a free vaccine system that's operated in part by the World Health Organization. There has been a lot of criticism from human rights groups and some Palestinian officials who say that Israel should be giving some of their vaccines to the Palestinians. They say that because the Palestinians live under occupied rule, that the Israelis should be doing more. Israel so far has said that it needs to focus on vaccinating its own citizens. And then after that's done, it may well offer some assistance further down the road.
Okay, we'll leave it there. James Rothwell, Middle East correspondent for The Telegraph, and Professor Diane Zamir-Levine, who is the National Director at the Department of Health Promotion at Clalit. Thank you both very much.